Here on the program, we're going to talk about innovation, we're going to talk about healthcare, and we're also going to talk about life. And here with us now is David A. Jones, Jr., who is the editor of David A. Jones, Always Moving Forward, which is a memoir of friends, family, and building Humana, basically an autobiography of his father. And David, let me just quickly ask you, what precipitated this, your decision to be the editor of your, basically your father's story, but a story we can all relate to?
Well, Bruce, thank you very much for the question and for taking the time to talk to me. My dad wrote his memoir. He wanted to leave his story, particularly for his family and the close friends who were along on the journey. He did it when he was in his 80s. As he retired, he wrote a great first draft, shared it with me. I gave him some feedback, shared it with, siblings of mine and a couple other friends. But then just totally out of the blue, he got diagnosed with a form of cancer, and he did not have time to complete the editing or the publishing process. So he asked me, because we had worked closely together on Humana over the years, we can talk about that. But he asked me, could I, kind of get it in shape and see that it got published. And so I promised him I would do that. That's how I came to be the editor of the book.
Well, let me ask this question. What was it like to kind of go back and look at your father's life through this particular lens?
It was first initially very hard. I was sort of my dad's family caregiver after he got this complicated illness, and spent a lot of time, a lot of nights in the hospital, the rehab center with him. But so it took almost a year after he passed before I could pick it up and get going with the work, just emotionally. But the after that, it was a great joy because I sort of had my dad's voice in my ears for an extra, year or so when I was, working on, on editing. And, the book was, it was in good shape. These are his words, but there were, kind of chapters to move around and some things to shorten up and stuff like that. But that was a real special benefit to just sort of, to have his voice in my ears is the way I think about it, because I really do hear it.
And it sounds like the things that you're doing now are trying to do some innovative things that hopefully will improve the situation. Give me some ideas. What are you doing?
Well, so there are a couple of things that are really exciting. When you talk about innovation these days, anywhere in the world, I think you talk about artificial intelligence, AI first. And back to the point about cost is the biggest problem in healthcare right now, AI has enormous potential to help people understand better what their health problem is and, get a sort of a first line cut of what to do with it. I'll just take a couple of areas. I mean, you're in North Carolina. I'm in Kentucky. Both of our states have huge numbers of people who live in small towns or rural areas where they have very, very few doctors. They don't have practical access because there's a shortage of people in all parts of healthcare. North Carolina is not quite as poor state as Kentucky, but we also have a lot of people who practically cannot afford to go to the doctor because they have high insurance premiums and stuff like that. So the promise of AI to be able to say, here's my blood test, for example, here are the test results. What does that mean? Rather than take off work and schlep to the doctor's office if it's far away or pay a big deductible to get there is hugely important. Now, that's starting from the cost side of the issue. There's also enormous miracle possibilities and things we're already seeing in cancer care, in understanding the genomic makeup or the kind of how the individual body works and targeting specific drugs for that. There are just very, very promising tools coming out of more powerful analytics engines. And that's really exciting for curative purposes and for keeping us more healthy. But the stuff that I work on is much more focused on how to get people practical access to things that are effective in helping them get better. And, you know, AI is a really, really exciting piece. There are other pieces that are, you know, that are not like magic. You know, and AI right now may be a little bit overly talked about, but, you know, things like increasing the supply of palliative care doctors who are like the, you know, the coordinating doctors who help people as they approach the end of their lives. That's an area that I'm very, very interested in. And, you know, one of the challenges with palliative docs is, you know, many of them, you know, they work alone. Their economics are not very good and there are not enough of them. So, you know, building practices that can contract with insurers or sometimes with hospitals to take care of more people as they come into their last, not just 6 months of life, but the, you know, the last 3 to 5 years when things get really complicated and their general practitioner, their primary care doctor can't manage it. That's a really, really important area. And that's much more about organization and process and building organizations that can contract, not the sexy stuff of artificial intelligence and technology, but vitally important to, you know, to help people do what they hope to do, which is have a, you know, more peaceful last few years than so many people have when they wind up in the ICU.
David A. Jones is with us. I'm going to have to stop you here because I want to ask another question. And I want to circle back to your book, which is the primary reason of our conversation. David A. Jones, Always Moving Forward. I like this expression that you've said about learning life lessons is you don't have a clear idea about where you're going unless it fits on the back of a business card. Explain that to me.
Yeah, that's right. And well, so and let me again just quick clarification. I'm David A. Jones Jr. and the book was my dad's autobiography. He wrote it. He had a complete draft, but he got diagnosed with a cancer at age 87, and he asked me to edit the book and get it published. So I'm the editor of the book, but I worked very closely with my dad and, you know, and understood his, you know, I think his thinking on this. But, you know, that notion that you don't have a clear idea unless you can write it on the back of my business card is really about focus. One of the things my dad believed most strongly was if you want to get something done, you have to really focus on it. He also believed that, you know, most problems in the world, if you really focus hard on them, you can think of a better way to do things. But that's what that was about. And that was his advice to, you know, to entrepreneurs, to, you know, people trying to write books or write plays or whatever you're trying to do. If you want to do it, go for it, but focus on it.
Let me wrap this up. Obviously, and you mentioned earlier that you have an interest in palliative care, which probably generates some from your relationship with your father. Let me wrap it up with this. What did you learn, since this is about your father's experience and you were the editor of it, what did your father teach you that you still use every day?
Well, it's a good question, Bruce. There are a lot of things he taught me that I use every day. I would say the thing that I aspire to use that he taught me was to thank people every day. Part of his magic as a leader, and, you know, he led Humana from when they first started to build one nursing home to where it was a company with almost $50 billion in revenue and many tens of thousands of employees. But his magic as a leader was he was very clear in what he in sharing what he was trying to do, but he was great at thanking people and helping them understand how their contribution was important, not only to the enterprise, but to him personally. He was great at remembering names. I wish I were better at that.
But we all do.
Marvelous. Yeah, he was marvelous at thanking people.
Any other final thoughts, either about this book or about your life's experience and your father's life experience, which you've chronicled and edited in David A. Jones, Always Moving Forward? Any final thoughts?
Well, I think just kind of back to healthcare for, you know, for a minute, healthcare costs are rising very fast right now. The shortage of people means that there's labor cost inflation. The miracle drugs and tools that are coming out, like the, you know, Wegovys and, you know, the GLP-1 inhibitors and new cancer drugs are putting a lot of cost pressure. And it's really important that, you know, that we allow space for innovation in how healthcare is delivered and, you know, and received. Some of that is about, you know, space for automated diagnoses. We've got to make sure the medical societies don't block AI engines somehow. But we also have to keep innovating on ways to get doctors and nurses paid better without just driving the cost of care up. So this cost issue is very, very real. And it's pricing so many Americans out of being able to live their best lives. So I guess that's where I'd leave it.
All right. Well, let's leave it there. David A. Jones Jr. has authored Always Moving Forward, which is a memoir of his father who founded Humana, and a lot of good information there. You could probably check it out from the usual book sources, Amazon, what have you.
That's right.
All righty.
That's exactly right.
All right. David A. Jones Jr., Always Moving Forward, a memoir of friends, family, and building Humana. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bruce. And Bruce, are we...